we learned that parables were stories that were cast alongside. That's the actual translation of parabole, cast alongside. So they are stories that are cast alongside a biblical truth in order to teach the truth. And obviously, if these are called the parables of the kingdom, this is Jesus' own title, then they are to teach the truths about the kingdom of heaven. And we looked last week at the first parable. That was the parable of the sower. And in that parable, Jesus explained that there are going to be four types of responses to the gospel message during this age that we live in. We call it the church age. It's the period of time between His first and His second coming. And the four responses, you heard the just outright rejection, the hard soil. There's some people that take the word in with joy, but they don't get deep. They don't get deep enough so that when the sun comes up and it withers that plant that we saw last week, it withers away and the plant or the faith dies. They were not grounded. Then the third group we saw with a negative response was those people who they take the word in or they look like they take the word in, and then they get choked out by the world. They get choked out by materialism. They get choked out by pressures of the world, and their faith does not exist. And then we saw the good soil, the good deep soil that seed falls upon and produces fruit. Sometimes a 30-fold, sometimes 60-fold, sometimes 100-fold. And if you were here last week, we actually showed you how each of those conditions looked in a real wheat field. I think we had a couple of people last week that had actually planted wheat, had sowed wheat, but the rest of us had not. And it's important to understand that Jesus was using analogies and those stories to cast alongside these truths about the kingdom of heaven so that the people He was talking to would understand. And that's where we're going to be today. He's going to do basically the same thing. He's going to give us understanding about the kingdom of heaven. So let's go back and cover one other point before we get into the two parables we're going to look at today. Remember, the disciples thought a couple of things. They thought, first of all, well, Jesus is here. He's the Messiah. They got that right. But what they didn't understand was that there was going to be a time when He went away. And then He's going to come back. He kept telling them this over and over again, and they didn't really understand it because they didn't want to understand it. They wanted the King to come now and crush the enemies. That's very important for today. They thought, as will happen when Jesus comes back the second time, that the enemies would be crushed like that. For those of you coming on our Sunday night Revelation studies, we're getting to Revelation 19 where that's getting ready to happen. And literally it will happen with a word. All right? But that was what they were thinking was going to happen right then. And it wasn't going to happen. Jesus is going to tell them that. And the other thing that they thought was because, well, why wouldn't people believe? Well, everybody's going to believe, right? No. Jesus told them, no, that's not going to happen. So they're sitting there wondering, think about it. You've just been told that your image of this kingdom is not right, that the enemy is not just going to be wiped out immediately, and that not everybody is going to believe this good news that you think is so powerful, and we think is so powerful after all this time. So what would be going through your mind as a disciple listening to this story from Jesus? You're going to be sitting there thinking, well, wait a minute. What's life going to be like? Is what I'm going to be doing, you're sending me out to preach the message, to teach the message, to make disciples of all nations, is that going to make any difference? Is it going to have an impact? And then you might be thinking, well, if you're not going to crush the bad guys, what are you going to do with them? Right? That's got to be in your mind. Well, then what about all the bad stuff that happens? And we hear this today. Well, gosh, there's evil in the world. Why is there evil in the world? Jesus is going to answer that today. We know the answer to it. Why doesn't everybody just become a Christian? Why is there multiple, quote, religions out there? Why? Why? And we see all these things, and Jesus provides us with the answers today. And in all of these kingdom parables, he's talking about what the kingdom of heaven is going to look like. And right now we are in that period of time between his first coming and the second coming, the church age, which is called the mystery age, because the Old Testament prophets didn't see it. Jesus was starting to explain it to his disciples, and they had just these tons and tons of questions. And we're going to see two parables today. We're going to talk about the parable of the tares, and we're going to talk about the parable of the dragnet. And Jesus is going to use those common analogies, fishing, farming, again, to talk about what life is going to be like in this age. So let's look at the first one. This one is called the parable of the tares. And we'll get to what a tare is in a minute. But first, let's read the parable itself, Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. And remember, stand if you will, we'll read this one. Remember, Jesus told us that there are two purposes to parables. One is to reveal something, and the other is to conceal something. So Jesus is giving his believers, his family, us, a message about what the kingdom of heaven is like. We are going to get that message. Non-believers, people who do not trust in him, are not going to understand this message. They're going to look at it and go, what in the world does wheat and tares have to do with the kingdom of heaven? So we'll get to that. But let's start in verse 24. Another parable he put to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us to go then and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You may be seated. So a simple analogy, just so that you understand, a tare is a weed. And it looks, I've got pictures up here, this is a tare. Some of your scriptures translations may say darnel, same thing. This is a grain of wheat that has grown and produced a head of wheat. They look a lot alike while you're growing them. And that's important as we go through this analogy. So you look at those, they look a lot alike. They don't look the same alike when they get fully grown, fully matured. So let's look at this, and you say, well, how in the world does this deal with the kingdom of heaven? Well, Jesus tells us it does. So look over beginning in verse 36. Jesus is going to explain that parable to us. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus takes this parable. He takes the simple situation that exists in a wheat field with wheat and weeds, and he turns it into a parable about the kingdom of heaven. I mean, we know this because He starts, if you go back in verse 24, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like. So Jesus is telling us what this parable is about, and it's about the kingdom of heaven. And he tells us that the sower of the seed in verse 37 is the Son of Man. So we know that the sower, we saw this last week, the sower walking around last week was all of us. But this time, it's the Son of Man specifically. It's Jesus Himself who's sowing the good seed. All right? And look in verse 38. Where's He sowing it? Just in churches? No. Listen to this. The field is the world. He's sowing it all across the world. Not just in Tennessee, not just in Dixon, not just in the United States, all across the world. And the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. So He's sowing the sons of the kingdom. If you are a Christian, male or female, you are a son or daughter of the kingdom, right? All right. So He's sowing these good seeds all over the world. So these good seeds, us, are the wheat. And we're growing, right? We're all maturing. We're all growing in the kingdom of heaven. But His enemy comes along, and His enemy sows the tares, or sows the weeds. And He tells us that the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the tares are the wicked ones. The tares are the non-believers. So get the imagery that He's producing. He's saying, in this wheat field, no matter where it is, there's going to be good seed, wheat, and there's going to be bad seed, tares. Now you see how that answers the disciples' questions about what's going to happen to those people that they saw as the enemies of the kingdom? The enemies of the kingdom under this parable that He's telling are going to grow together with the wheat. They're going to grow together with the good seed. Right? Jesus said it like this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. He said, "For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and He sends rain on the just and on the unjust." So during this period of time, we're going to grow together. The children of the kingdom will grow together with the children of the devil, the children of the wicked one. That had to blow the disciples' minds. Right? I mean, can you imagine? You know that you are worshiping the Messiah. You know that your God is in front of you, and He is saying, "I'm going to let bad people grow too." Did you notice your bulletin quote this morning? We put those in there for a reason. Your bulletin says, "Those who are weeds today may be wheat tomorrow." Raise your hand if you were ever a tare. Now look around. Well, put them back up. Look around. Everybody's hands up in here, okay? So let me ask you this. Are we glad that Jesus lets the tares grow with the wheat? Yes. Yes, we are. And we're going to see that in a second. And look, when is He going to harvest these? And He tells us, He says, look, the harvest is at the end of the age. So at the end of the age, He's going to separate. We're going to see that in the next parable. He's going to separate the believers from the unbelievers. But right now, He gives us time. And look, this is such a loving response. Look back in verse 28. Remember I told you last week that James and John, you know, they were all big on punishing people. They wanted just the kingdom to come now, crush all the enemies, crush all the opposition. If you didn't believe, they wanted you to just be snuffed out. Because remember, they asked that Jesus, "Hey, do you want us to rain down fire on these Samaritans who do not believe in You?" And Jesus said, no, not your job. But look here in this parable. The servants go to Him, verse 27, and they're like, hey, didn't you sow good seed in your field? How come then there are weeds? Jesus said in verse 28, he said, them an enemy has done this, and the servants respond with a natural question from them. Well, do you want us to go get the weeds out of your wheat field? Isn't that natural? How many of you guys weed your garden? Some of you? Okay, all right. Well, if you weed your garden, you do that to get the bad weeds out so they don't overtake your field. It's a natural question. Do you want us to go get the tares out of the field? In other words, do you want us to go deal with the unbelievers? Y'all see that? And here's Jesus' answer. Look in verse 29 and 30. But he said no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. See what he's saying? In this time, he says, I know that there are going to be people who are tares that are going to become wheat. So I don't want you to go pull up those tares now because they could be wheat tomorrow. Right? God can change them from tares to wheat in a heartbeat. And here's the thing. God knows who the tares are. And he knows who the tares who are going to become wheat are. And he's opened this invitation to all of us who were tares and to all who are tares today to come and change and become wheat. Peter wrote this in 2 Peter 3. He says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, and here's the reason, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is giving us the time. He's giving the world the time to grow. He's given the world time to grow. He's not going to remove the tares until the harvest. He's not going to do that because he knows that some of them are going to become tares, some mature later. How many of you guys became Christians a little bit later in life? Yeah, several. So what would have happened if, as the disciples wanted to do, the second that weed started to grow, they come out and rip you out? You wouldn't have matured to become wheat. So Jesus said, you let that tear grow. I will decide, Jesus, I decide, my angels and I will decide at the harvest time what we're going to take out, what we're going to cast into the furnace of fire, and what's going to come into our kingdom. What's going to come into my kingdom? We will make that decision at the end. So the second lesson is, look, we're going to grow together with the unbelievers. We're going to be together. What's the church's role? What is your role as a believer? Is it to pass judgment on an unbeliever? Is it to execute judgment? That's what James and John wanted to do. No, it's not. Our job is to be that wheat. What's the job of wheat? To grow, to get as big as you can get, to be harvested, and then to do what your Lord wants you to do. That's the job of the wheat. The job of the wheat is not to attack the tares next to it. The job of the church is not to pound that gavel and execute judgment on non-believers. It is to present the truth. God will judge the unbelievers. We are simply to continue to grow as believers. We are to continue to present the gospel, and we are to let God grow us just as he lets the tares grow. Because it may just be that some of those tares become wheat. It may just be that because they're close to us, and we'll see this next week, because they're close to wheat, because they're close to Christians, Christians have an influence on them. Something, God's Word, changes them from tares to wheat. How do they hear God's word? They hear it at churches. They hear it from you. They hear it from anybody, like we talked about last week, who sows the good word. And then at the end of the age, verse 43, the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So the righteous, we know what's going to happen with the tares. They're going to be gathered. They're going to be thrown into the furnace of fire. The righteous enter that kingdom. And that's what we want, right? We want to enter God's kingdom. We're in it in a sense now. We are children of the kingdom, but there is coming an earthly kingdom. If the rapture happens before we die, then we're going to see, we may see that kingdom. We'll see it as we come back with Him at the second coming, right? We're going to rule with Him in that second, in that kingdom when He returns. That's a whole, that's a Sunday night topic, but it's coming and it's getting closer and closer by the day. So that's what happens. That's what's going to happen with the tares. The second parable is called the parable of the dragnet. And this is the type of net that Jesus is talking about, and it's called a segini. And it's a huge net that they would simply throw over and they would drag. As you read this parable, understand, huge net, casts over, catches everything. Tons of fish, tons of garbage, whatever might have been in the water, this net is going to catch. All right, so let's look then at the parable of the dragnet, Matthew 13, verses 47 through 50. Jesus says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to the shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So again, we're talking clearly about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is talking about this segini that is going to gather everything. Anything that it catches, it's going to keep. And then what would happen is the fishermen would take the net, they would go over to the shore, and they would do what these guys are doing, pull it up on the land, and they would go through, decide what they were going to keep. They would keep that fish in the vessels, whatever the pots they would put it in, and they would throw the not good stuff away. Okay, so he says the kingdom of heaven is like this net. So think about what he's saying. The kingdom of heaven is going to reach out. It's going to collect all kinds of people. It's going to collect good, keepable people. It's going to collect some of the wicked people. They're all going to come. They're all going to be pulled into the shore. And at the end of the age, again, at the end of the church age, my angels will come forth again and separate the wicked from the just. So at the end of this age, the end of this age, when Jesus comes back the second time, there will be what we call the judgment of nations. Some people call it the sheep and goat judgment. He's going to judge the people that are alive at that time. The sheep will go into the kingdom. The goats go into the furnace of fire. But that's exactly what he's trying to tell them. And they would have clearly understood this because, again, they were thinking, hey, you know, this kingdom is so great, it's obviously just going to be the good people, right? And his answer to that is no. It's going to be what you call good people. It's going to be what you call wicked people. It's going to be children of my Father. It's going to be children of the wicked one. But there is coming a point of separation. And that's what this parable does. The parable of the tares talks about us growing together. It talks about the wicked growing with the good and how life's going to be. So think about what that does. Why is there evil in the world? Well, because the devil planted evil seeds. Do we get that? I mean, it's a simple explanation. It's not popular. Nobody wants to blame the devil, because then you kind of have to admit that God exists, right? But that's exactly what it is. Jesus answered the question, why then in churches sometimes do you have good people and bad people? Because we're in the world. Same thing Jesus said. Why do we have crime? Because there's bad people in the world. Would we like to just take all the criminals out? Sure. But, and look, that's right. We all would like to live in a crime-free society. Remember that thief hanging on the cross? What if we had taken him out before he got on that cross? He wouldn't have been saved. And that's the point he's making. There's a time coming for the separation, and we as the church don't need to be worried about that. What's our job in the dragnet? Our job is to fish. We are the fishers of men, right? So we go out, we toss that net. We help bring that net to the shore. We don't decide who is good and who is bad. We just bring it all, and you know what? The angels will decide. Jesus will decide. It takes the pressure off of us. All we got to do is bring it to the shore. Bring everybody we can. What if they're bad people? Bring them. What if they're good people? Bring them. What if we don't know? Bring them. What's the answer? We bring them. And that's what he's trying to say the church's role is. The church is to grow, to spread the gospel to as many people as it can. That's what our commission is, right? Go and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. Not just preach the word to them. Go and make disciples. Teach them how to live as children of the kingdom. That's what we're going to see. So as we look at the takeaways from these two parables, I mean, they're pretty clear. The next slide, Isaiah. All right, the takeaways from the makeup of the kingdom. Number one is, while the kingdom for a while will tolerate good and evil growing together, there is a time of separation coming. It's at the end of the age, and thus it's getting closer and closer. But right now we wonder, and you know, the saints in Revelation asked this, the Old Testament saints asked this, God, when are you going to take back control? When are you going to avenge us? And Jesus says, at the end of the age. Time's coming. But right now, you're going to grow together. At the end of the age, the unbelievers will be cast into the furnace of fire, while believers are left to enter the millennial kingdom. So Jesus is going to do that separation. Jesus is going to make that happen. We just simply need to do what God has commanded us to do during this time. So that's the first takeaway. The second takeaway is this. It's not our responsibility to execute judgment. It's our job to grow, just like the wheat. It's our job to pull in the fish, just like the fishermen, and spread the gospel. We are to sow like we saw last week. We are to be the sowers of that seed because we are the children of the kingdom sown by the Son of Man himself, by Jesus. So we're going to spread the gospel. We're not going to, where is that? We're not going to tap this down and execute judgment. That's not what we do. Our job is to show God's love and to show that there is a way to avoid this, right? A way to avoid the judgment of God that's coming at the end of this age. And we show people Jesus Christ. We show them how to be saved. We give them that simple message of the gospel. And then thirdly, the third takeaway is that the execution of the judgment, which is going to come at the time of the separation, will be done by Jesus and his angels. We are not the ones to pound that gavel. It does not mean that we are not to judge. The Bible tells us that we are to judge righteously. And what that means is to be discerning, that we are to evaluate good and bad. We are to understand good and bad. We are actually to look at people and evaluate whether or not they are believers. And we do that by looking at their works. You shall know them by their works. We're supposed to tell false teachers from real teachers. But what we're not supposed to do is say, boom, you're going to the furnace of fire. Or boom, you're going to heaven. We don't know. But God does. Right? God knows the heart of every man. And He knows what it's going to be on that deathbed. Just like that thief on the cross. He was there to share the word of the kingdom with him. That man had no chance to get down and do anything. He didn't work for anything. All the works he'd done in his life were bad, right? He made that deathbed confession, so to speak. But it was real. He changed that day from being a tear, from being a weed in society, something that was annoying to society. He changed that day to being a stalk or grain of wheat, something that was going to be used by the kingdom. This judgment is something we're supposed to look forward to as believers. Because when God comes and He judges righteously, it's not going to be like we judge. It's not going to be even like, you know, we've got some good judges in this state. But even a human judge is going to make mistakes sometime. That's not going to happen when God judges. It's going to be a perfect judgment. It's going to be a righteous judgment. And it's going to be right. We know it's going to be right because God's doing it. So in the meantime, we do what these parables do. They are simply another way to reach out to those people who will listen, who have an ear to hear, and say, you know what? You've got a choice to make. You can accept the word I told you about in the parable of the sower. You can take it and you can let it root deep in your life. You can let it stay deep in your life and you can let it grow to produce fruit. Or you can be hard-hearted, you can be shallow, or you can be choked out. I'm giving you these options. I'm giving you this invitation to be part of my children. I'm giving you this invitation to be part of my kingdom, the kingdom of the wheat, not the tares. You ever heard the saying, that guy's lost in tall weeds? Or something like that, tall grass, something like that? Look, let's make that spiritual today. If you're lost in the tall wheats today, if you're a tare today, you've heard what the end is going to be. And it's not pleasant. And that is part of the gospel message. Part of that gospel message has to be the judgment of God, has to be what God is going to do to the wicked. If you are a tare today, just like your bulletin says, let's change to be wheat. If you're a wheat stalk today and you've been thinking, boy, I'd like to get rid of that tare next to me, we all understand, okay? Jesus understands, but what did He say? He said, no, because there's hope for those tares. There's hope for that weed growing next to you. So if you're if you're a stalk of wheat and you've got a tare in your life, what are you going to do? You're going to keep on doing what Jesus told us to do. You're going to keep on growing in Him, you're going to keep on sharing His gospel so that one day that tare may become wheat. If you're not doing that, say, God, I'm sorry, I've not been a good wheat stalk. I'm like the disciples. I mean, look, this is those guys. Think about it. These guys that spent all this time with Jesus, got taught by Jesus, they're ready to go crush the enemy too. That's what gives me hope that we can get this message, because if you spent 3 years with Jesus and you still think, oh man, I'd really like to go crush the enemy, that's a human reaction. But Jesus says, my love is greater than that. You understand that? This is all out of His love. If He didn't love the wheat, if He didn't love the children of the kingdom, He would have told those slaves, yeah, go rip them out now. I don't care what happens to my wheat. Let's get rid of the tares. But He didn't do that. He told him, no, I don't want to cause damage to the wheat. So the whole message of this parable, the kingdom parables, is an invitation. It's an invitation to you to come to be a child of God, and it's an invitation to you to continue as a child of God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for this parable, both of these parables, Lord. We just thank you for the clear message that you've given us. We thank you for the interpretation. And Lord, we understand what it means. We thank you for that understanding. But Lord, with understanding comes responsibility. And we know today now that we need to continue to grow. We need to continue to grow with those that we may see as evil. We need to continue to do what you have tasked us to do, even though it looks like the weeds may be overtaking the field sometimes. There is a harvest coming. There's a separation coming, Lord, and we trust in you that you will make that separation justly and rightly. And Lord, we thank you that the sun shines on us all. We thank you that the rain rains on us all. Lord, continue to guide us and direct us. Continue to show us how you want your church to be. Lord, I pray you use everyone in this church, that they be open and available and obedient to your call in any way to spread your gospel. And this we pray in your Son's name. Amen.